Yeah, it's fun, and you know, it's really just being with other people during the fish fry. So you're usually with your family or friends and other people. At some of the fish fries, you're seated at a big communal table. So if you come in as a two top, the place can, the table will hold eight people. So you might be sat with, you know, six other people, and you know, now you're all talking fish fries, or you might make some friendships that last or something. So.
Welcome to Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, a show for people who embrace the warm and cozy spirit of everyday living in the Midwest. From the blog Random Sweets, I'm your host, Stacey Mergenthal. You don't have to be from the Midwest to feel like a part of the community that we're talking about today. That's because our beloved Friday Night Fish Fry welcomes people from around the world to sit across the table with each other at parish schools and fellowship halls, to supper clubs and taverns and even community centers, to enjoy the golden fried or sometimes lightly baked fish alongside classic sides like coleslaw and potatoes. And who better to talk with me about this Lenten tradition than Ron Fayola? He's a filmmaker, director, and author who, in addition to his movies and books about Wisconsin supper clubs, has produced two movies about fish fries in Wisconsin. All four of his films were licensed and broadcast on PBS for several years. We're covering everything from which side of Wisconsin serves rye bread at their fish fries, and how to know if you're getting real lake perch, to how to find a fish fry in your community, and why you want to skip the fork and eat fish with your fingers. Now, if you like this episode, please like, share, and review it as a way to help others discover this podcast. Ron, welcome to Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens. Thank you for joining me.
Good to be here, Stacey.
Today's show is a fun topic in general, but we're in the middle of Lenten season right now, so this discussion about the Friday night fish fry is kind of good timing, but also you're the perfect person to talk about this because you're so researched on the topic that you've actually made two documentary films about fish fries in Wisconsin.
That's right.
So you're an author, you're a photographer, you're a filmmaker, I'm sure many other things. Plus, you must like the fish fry. I don't know. So before we jump into that beer batter goodness that we get on Fridays around here, I just want to learn a little bit more. So tell me about yourself.
Yeah, I live in the village of Greendale outside of Milwaukee. It was built by the federal government during the Depression. So the houses look very similar. And they built two other planned communities around that time, one near Cincinnati and one near Baltimore. And they're pretty unique. And I live in what's called a Greendale Original. So it's a nickname for the original homes that were built here. And oh, wow. There's newer homes that were built after the federal government stopped renting them out. But yeah, so I grew up in Wisconsin, basically had fish fries all my life and enjoyed them. And, you know, back in the old days, it was all you could eat, family style. I went to a Catholic grade school and they had a fish fry on Fridays. So during Lent. Mm-hmm. So we would go to that and see the other families and our classmates and stuff.
So what are some of the things that you do in your free time? I'm guessing they still probably have something to do with photography or filmmaking or storytelling in general, maybe.
I don't know about that. I guess we should explain my full history. You mentioned that I did some documentaries and mm-hmm. I've had a multimedia production company since 1994. And I was doing a lot of corporate stuff. I was doing music videos. I was hired by A&M Records to do work on a Monster Magnet. They had a big hit in the 2010s. And but in 2009, I did my first fish fry movie called Fish Fry Night Milwaukee. That was places around the city of Milwaukee that were doing fish fries during Lent. And I included a butcher shop, a tavern, a church fish fry, and so on, just to kind of show where people were going and what they were doing for fish fry. And then the second one I did was in 2017. It was called We're Here for a Fish Fry. And that one I went around the state and had different types of fish, different sides that were featured and stuff. And then my other two films were one on church festivals, which came out in 2015, called Tilt-A-Whirl's Cowbells and Beer. And that was fun. And actually that had fish fry and food component to it, because people would go to the church festival for a fish fry in the summer. And then the biggest film was Wisconsin Supper Club's An Old-Fashioned Experience, which I shot in 2010, and it came out in 2011. And that was absolutely huge when it came out. And I went to 14 supper clubs around the state in that movie. And there was some fish fry in there, but there was other, you know, supper club dishes as well. And all of those were on PBS, including the supper club film, which was licensed to the national distributor for many years.
When did you start writing books? Because not only have you done films, you've written quite a few books too.
Four books, yeah. what happened was when the Supper Club movie came out in 2011, it was March, and by the summertime, I think it was July or something, or June, there was a Tribune article about the movie, kind of a rave review of the Supper Club film, and there was a huge reaction from people that lived in Illinois or followed the Tribune, and I was selling a ton of DVDs, and the publisher of my books, who I didn't know at the time, he sent me an email and said, how would you like to do a book? And it was perfect timing. I really didn't have anything planned. And so by the February of 2012, I was on the road to do the Supper Club book, and had a real short window of production time to visit all the clubs. And I did 50 supper clubs around the state. And then the book came out in April of 2013. And it was a big hit. In fact, the pre-order sales wiped out the first printing. They had to scramble to print more copies. As my publisher calls it, an evergreen first mover book. Like, it was the first Supper Club book to come out.
Okay.
And so it was, it still is a really popular book. I just did an updated second edition that came out last November and added 15 more clubs to it and revisited some of the clubs. And so it's really been 10 years of going on 11 now of the Supper Club really dominating my life. So when you talked about what I do in my free time, it's really a lot of this Supper Club work. I have a website, wisconsinsupperclubs.com, where I have a club list that I have to keep updated, because supper clubs, for many reasons, are opening and closing. And yeah. I have to keep the list updated, and their websites, oftentimes they only have a Facebook page, and or they've lost their domain name, and then, you know, they don't have much of an internet presence. So that keeps me busy too. And then I do personal appearances at book events and do presentations and so on. So
your books are really cool. They're hefty, beautiful colored hardback, lots of pictures, great stories, information. I mean, that's where I first found you, was when I was looking, doing some research for supper clubs, because I want to do a podcast episode about supper clubs. So I'm hoping that you'll come back and join us for that, because I know you have a lot to talk about and I can't wait to learn that from you. But those books were really, really cool. So I can see why they sell out and why people want them. And for people who don't realize, and I'm just starting to understand or realize, but I'm not from Wisconsin. I grew up in South Dakota. I live in Minnesota now. When I was in my early 20s, I would go to a supper club at Lake Chetek called the Valhalla Steakhouse, or Valhalla Supper Club, I guess. I loved that. We have what is considered a supper club still, just a couple miles down the road from us where we live right now, called the Knotty Pine. We love our supper clubs here. There aren't as many anymore. It's nothing like Wisconsin, and I had no idea. And so I joined this, I think it's called the Wisconsin Supper Clubs Enthusiast Facebook group. And there's nearly 100,000 people in that group. It's a huge thing in Wisconsin.
No, it is. They it's 10 years ago, there was nothing like that. When the movie came out, when the book came out, it was there were no clubs, there were no, I mean, these type of Facebook things. There was no souvenirs. Now there's t-shirts and mugs and glasses and hoodies and maps and everything, and
Right.
so that you can tell how crazy it's gotten. So
Yeah. What was it that made you do documentary or do films about fish fry? Like, what was it that triggered that? I'm gonna do fish fry. And you started out with the Wisconsin, I mean the Milwaukee one.
yeah, so the economy cratered in 2008, the Great Recession, and all my corporate work disappeared in 2009.
Oh.
Anything that was on the schedule was gone, and late January at the time, and I was like, wow, I can panic or I can do something to keep me busy. And I had the equipment, and I had been thinking about how fish fries are so ubiquitous during Lent. I mean, they're year round in Wisconsin, but in Lent it just gets crazy. Like my joke was, even the ATMs serve a fish fry on, during Lent. And so I just grabbed a camera. I got a list of places I wanted to visit and contacted them, and it was during Lent, and so lots of people were around, and it was a lot of fun. Lakefront Brewery, there was a polka band playing, and the butcher shop was saying, yeah, on Fridays in Lent we weren't selling any meat, so we put in a fish fry and we were making money on that. There was like I say, the church fish fry and taverns and so on. So it was real interesting, and just people reacted to it in such a big way. I turned it into the Milwaukee PBS station. I didn't have any contact there. I just sent them a 2-minute trailer, and they wrote back and said, "We love it. Send us the final
Yeah.
cut." And they licensed it. And once it
Wow.
started airing, it was very popular, and I started getting calls, and I don't know how people got my number, but people would call me on Friday and say, "Where should I go for fish fry?" And I was like, "Well, if you just saw the film, I gave you, about a dozen places to go."
Right.
So it was interesting, the reaction. And while I was looking for a supper club fish fry to put in the movie, I realized supper clubs were another topic that nobody had looked at. And so I wrote back to Milwaukee PBS saying, "I'm going to do a film on supper clubs." And they said, "We want it." They hadn't, I hadn't even shot it yet. So the summer of 2010 and the fall, I went out and shot the movie of the supper club movie around the state. And like I say, it premiered in, I think, March of 2011. And then that really took off. I mean, people really reacted in a big way. And the clubs that were in the movie started getting more business. And then when the book came out, it really got, they became, people were coming now with their books and having people sign their copies of the owners and the staff members. And
Oh, sure.
it's not just a coffee table book. People were taking it on the road with them. So,
Like a travel guide. I mean,
exactly, yeah.
because that's what people do. They're like, okay, we went to this one. What one are we going to next? It's not just, and that's a whole nother topic that we'll talk about in another episode about it not just being a place to go eat quick and go home. It's a whole
Right.
different experience. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a destination for the night.
Well, I love that part of the story now, knowing how it came to be with, like you said, the economy, and you took your passion and turned it into something that now look at PBS is like, yeah, we want whatever you're doing, Ron.
Yeah, and then
Yeah.
that led to the other films being picked up.
So let's talk about the Friday fish fry. Now, if you went to a Catholic school, you're going to be able to explain this better than me, who converted to be Catholic 5, 6, 7 years ago. But in general, what is a fish fry? How did the observance of Friday, fish on Friday, start, and why Fridays during Lent?
Fridays, well, actually, it was in the Catholic Church, it started off as Fridays all year round, that you would fast from eating red meat by eating fish. Red meat, the blood of Christ kind of thing. So fish were cold-blooded, and that was okay. So are lizards. So you could eat lizards on Friday, I think, instead of meat, and you'd be okay.
Let's
But
not have a lizard fry. No.
right, doesn't sound good, but so having fish on Friday was the rules, basically, until Pope Paul VI relaxed the rules in the 60s and said, well, it only applies during Lent. And so Catholics really stick to that. They don't eat meat on Friday. They have their fish. And, the church, the parishes had cafeterias. And when I was a kid, the fish was more of the kind of fish sticks or the fish preformed fillets. It was probably pollock, chopped and formed, kind of like the fillet of fish. But now they actually serve really good cod fillets. They have the sides, potato and coleslaw and so on. But it's a lot of fun for the, like I say, for the parishioners, because they see they're not in church, so they're being more social in the cafeteria, and their kids can run around and have fun. And the churches usually sell beer and wine, so you can have,
Wait, the I didn't know that. The
yeah, they,
churches will sell beer and wine at the fish
sure,
fry on Friday, the Catholic Church.
yeah. Why not? I mean, Wisconsin is also known for drinking a lot, so there's no hard booze, but they do have the beer and wine. So it's a way to, relax at the end of the week. And the prices at the church fish fries are usually pretty reasonable. And they used to be, I think, all you can eat. Now they're just limited to one serving, but I can't do all you can eat, but it's just too much.
Yeah. How did supper clubs in the Midwest or in Wisconsin, how did they influence or create what we now know as the tradition of a Friday night fish fry at a supper club? It's not just Catholics or Lutherans or the faith goers. Everybody loves a fish fry. How did a supper club get in on the game?
Well, if you go back to the early 20th century, Wisconsin supper clubs began as roadhouses, taverns, and dance halls, and they served a little bit of food, which was usually fried fish or fried chicken, because they were cheap and abundant. We have Wisconsin has two major Great Lakes where we're getting fish at the time, and a lot of inland lakes supplying fish, and chicken was everywhere. It was easy and cheap to raise. So that became a thing that they would serve all the time. But again, the Friday fasting on fish, and as we went through the years, and then the roadhouses turned into supper clubs, the fish fry just stayed as the Friday night, end of the week celebration. They were, again, inexpensive. You could take the whole family to a supper club or a tavern and have a fish fry, usually, like I said, all you can eat for a whole family, and just relax, and again, be with your friends, family, other people that were regulars that would come in, and you're all kind of having the community meal, which was fish fry. And you wouldn't want to necessarily make it at home, because it's a big mess to fry fish. And if you buy the frozen fish sticks, it's not so much fun, and you don't get to have a beer and hang out with your friends. So, or a brandy old fashioned, which is huge in Wisconsin, with everybody drinking old fashions. And that's one thing you can't get at the church: fish fries and a brandy old fashioned. So,
yeah. In my family growing up, where we went to church, that wasn't something that was a rule or anything in our church, was to not have meat on Fridays. But I worked in a cafe in Brookings, South Dakota, and there was a Friday night fish fry and a salad bar. So I just kind of have always known. But last year was Jason and I, my husband, we were in Gulf Shores, Alabama. And of course, we were there on Ash Wednesday and during the beginning of Lent. So, and there were signs all over the place that they were having the Friday night fish fry. And a lot of them were served with hush puppies on the side, which is different than what we see up here, but they're still doing the Friday night fish fry at the church.
Yeah. During Lent, you know, Friday fish fry is found in cities with large Catholic populations around the country. So Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cleveland, Cincinnati, that, like you say, attracts even more than just the parishioners. It's people who just want to have a good fish fry. And actually, the first fillet of fish was developed in Cincinnati by a franchisee who was struggling to sell burgers on Friday. And he invented this fillet of fish, which was using flounder back then. But Ray Kroc had developed this thing called a hula burger, which was a grilled piece of pineapple with cheese on top of it. That was his Friday thing. And
Ray was the owner, the founder of McDonald's.
Well, he was the owner. Yeah. And okay. He lost. They had a contest to see who liked the fillet of fish or the hula burger better. And the hula burger was not very well liked. So luckily otherwise we'd be eating a bun with a grilled pineapple and cheese on it. I'm going to have to try that sometime, but yeah, they, as far as sides, you know, like, they're different. Sometimes there's baked beans and, in other cities in Wisconsin, the sides are, a potato of either, potato pancakes or French fries. And then you have your coleslaw, tartar sauce, and the eastern part of the state, you'll get rye bread. And on the western part of the state, you get a dinner roll for whatever reason. That? I don't know. I feel sorry for the people on the west side of the state, because a dinner roll is kind of boring.
Right. I'd choose the rye bread too.
I like a good marble rye. So, and the fish, it's not always cod. It could be perch, and you have to make sure it's real lake perch, not ocean perch or European zander. And we used to get perch out of Lake Michigan, but they're no longer there. But the perch, the real lake perch we got, is from the Canadian side of Lake Erie.
Okay.
And some places, like I say, pass off cheaper ocean perch or similar, and they're calling it lake perch. But if you're getting really big fillets, then that's not real perch. Real perch is small and delicate little fillets, and they're expensive.
Okay.
They've really gone up now. But you also have haddock and walleye and culvers. You're talking about being in Alabama, and culvers is now expanding nationwide. And the culvers started in Wisconsin. So they were offering fish fries on Friday. And so places in Florida and other states that are being introduced to kind of Wisconsin's food culture, including cheese curds, but culvers really doesn't make a very good cheese curd, fried cheese curd, in my opinion. So my brother-in-law sent me a photo of an ad from Culver's that said something about supper clubs enjoy the supper club favorite, get a fish fry at Culver's. And Culver's was actually the family, the Culver family owned a supper club in Sauk City. And it was their son, Craig Culver, that grew up working at McDonald's and kind of absorbed all the information about McDonald's and created Culver's. So I like Culver's a lot. Their burgers are great and their French fries and
I didn't realize that I knew that he grew up with his family having a supper club, but I did not know that he worked in fast food, that he worked at McDonald's.
yeah, he
So he
was
had the influence of both then.
right. Yeah, and I used to go to that Culver's in Sauk City like 30 years ago because they had a peanut butter shake, which was really rich and really, and nobody else had that. And so I would take trips out to the west part of the state, but on my way, I'd stop in Sauk City and get a peanut butter shake. And that was really good. And then shortly after that, they started expanding in Wisconsin and then started going nationwide. So
Can you still get them to make a peanut butter shake?
I don't know. I haven't had one in a long time. They're really rich and
We're all going to go to Culver's now and try to order peanut butter shakes.
so yeah, and then the Friday fish fry also, I just wanted to mention there's bluegill and smelt or schmelt as the Northerners say, and those are kind of seasonal, the schmelt are, and they're really small, so sometimes those are all you can eat, but those come from Lake Superior, and or you can get baked fish, you can get baked cod, if you don't want to get the fried stuff, so.
I saw in one of the films that you did that Legion Post 82, they do a smelt fry the week after Easter. Why do they do
Yeah.
that the week after Easter?
I think it was because of the availability of the smelt, and it was more available at that point. I don't know. Maybe they mentioned it in the movie. They don't, unfortunately, they don't do it anymore. They're not in that building in Port Washington. So it's a bar now. But yeah, that was fun. Those guys were all volunteers too. It was a fundraiser.
Where are some of the most unique places that you've seen do a fish fry or just something different? In one of the films I saw a place that did drive-through only fish fry and the line would be backed up for a couple of blocks.
Right. The drive-through, they wouldn't do it only, but that was just another way to have fish. And people would, yeah, they would back up and they just, it was like a factory in there just pumping out the fish, and it's cash only. So you just run it out. But the butcher shop was unique. Well, I've seen a taco place that was just known for their tacos. Now they have a fish fry, and you can get fish fries at baseball games and football games. And then there's Ian's Pizza that does the fish fry pizza only during Lent on Fridays. And it's very good. I enjoy it. A lot of people say yuck when they see the picture of it, but it's actually good. It's like having the whole fish fry because there's the fried fish, there's French fries, coleslaw,
Tartar
there's no
sauce.
red sauce. Yeah, so it's kind of like a mayo-based sauce that, like, it's like if you just wrapped up a fish fry, and so it's good. It's worth a try at least for people that are
Yeah.
curious. But
When I saw that at first, I thought, okay, that's interesting, but I would try it. I wouldn't probably want the French fries on it, but to me, it's sort of like a flatbread pizza where people will do barbecue sauce and chicken and red onions. So they're doing a or a buffalo chicken, sort of a flatbread. We make fish tacos, right? With a
sure,
little bit of
yeah,
coleslaw, wrap it in a
right.
tortilla. What I haven't seen yet is, of course, the Norwegian in me is like, well, how come we haven't seen fish lefse, where you wrap it up in lefse?
Yeah, well, then maybe that's northern Minnesota. You
Sure.
get that, and you
Yeah,
don't
they're
have
probably
the
doing pickled herring or something, which I won't do. So,
right or the lutefisk
oh, yeah. Oh, man. You're right.
people get a little upset about if they have ever had it or smelled it. It's fun to Like I said, during Lent, it's just like everybody has to offer a fish fry because people are looking for it everywhere, and the wait times can be really long. They can be, 2 hours or more. And if you're waiting at a bar and you have a seat at the bar, that's not so bad because you can have some drinks or a beer. And but if you're standing or something, it can be a little bit much. So you might want to they leave and look for a place that's not so busy. The fish fry might not be as good, but you'll try anything at that point just to get a fish fry. So
I was wondering if you have sort of advice or recommendations about how to find a fish fry in your area. So if somebody's listening to this anywhere, how do you figure out where they have them?
usually, local media during Lent will ha publish a list or a fish fry finder, and they'll have their favorites or places that people suggest. And word of mouth, if you just ask around and see where people are going. I don't know if you remember the scene in the first fish fry movie at near the end where the little boy says to his dad, they're talking about fish fries, and the little kid says, "We went to Applebee's," and the guy goes, "Yeah, Applebee's. It was okay," but it's not your first thought of going to Applebee's to get a fish fry. So, fish fries have gotten more expensive now. They're $15 to $25, versus 10 to 15 a few years ago. You're still getting the same amount of fish, but they're just everything's gone up in price, and especially the fish, and especially perch. Like the real lake perch is, like I said, is very expensive. Cod, North Atlantic. Usually the cod comes from either North Atlantic or p the Pacific, but the most common is North Atlantic cod. And haddock is a little bit more expensive too, because that's a little more difficult way of catching haddock, and it's
I
worth,
don't fish, so I don't know the difference
well,
between.
it's not like putting a pole out, when they're commercial fishing. Some they can be caught by net. Haddock, you have to, it's I think a line thing. So we love our fish fries so much where it's just driving the prices up. So
Well, Ron, we're kind of coming here to to wrap it up, but I did want to ask about something kind of cool that I saw when you were at one of the supper clubs. Or we've been talking about how some of the fish is fried, some of it's baked, but some of them are breaded, some of them have a seasoning. But some of those places in Wisconsin, the beer battered one, are using a local brew or a beer that they have brewed themselves. So that's kind of neat. Do you see that quite often at the
oh yeah.
commercial places, not the Catholic? I doubt that the Catholic Church is brewing their own beer, but.
Yeah. Well, they might use beer. Sometimes the Catholic churches will have a vendor that supplies the stuff for them, to make the fish fries. But
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
the local, they'll say we use Lion and Kugel's or the Lakefront Brewery. Obviously, they have their own brewery on site, so they use their own beer. John Sidoff in the Hooligans mentions Lakefront dark beer that probably gives it a little bit more intense beer flavor. Most of the time, just a regular lager will do pretty well to give you that beer taste. I'm not so much of a batter person. I like breaded fish because the breaded fish is a little lighter. The batter sometimes can really soak up the grease or get too heavy and fall off. So I tend to go for places that do a breading. And like I say, I like potato pancakes, but fries are fine too, or seasoned fries, or those cottage fries, steak. I mean, it's all potato, but the way their cut makes them even better. I don't know. So
And speaking of sides, I saw that in one of the films, the Polish Center of Wisconsin, you were there,
right.
and they were doing pierogies as a side.
Yeah, they're pierogies. Well, of course, you have to, if you're at the Polish Center, you got to have some pierogi. And that's good too. I mean, anything really that is going to fill you up is great. I like the potato and cheese pierogi over a sauerkraut one, but yeah, to find something a little different is always good too. I don't bake beans, I wouldn't care for so much. And you'd have to be careful, I think, if you're avoiding meat on Friday, baked beans would have pork in it probably. So,
Right. If it's good baked beans, it would.
right. So,
Right.
that's probably why they just stick with potatoes. And some places there was in the first movie that Libiamo's, the Italian place, served pasta with, as a side. That was that guy who said he was from Cleveland and he knows fish. But anyway, that was a choice. If you didn't want potato, you could have pasta with you.
I usually drown my fish in tartar sauce and lemon. There's butter, you know. Have you seen any other different kinds of dips or condiments that people have served in the research that you've done when you've been out for different meals? Is that pretty much it?
No, the only thing I've seen is two types of coleslaw, the mayo based and the vinegar based. I like the vinegar based better. It's people want they want the same thing. They want to see the same thing all the time. So there's no surprises. So if they're out of something, they'd be upset if they substituted something else. That's why, like, if people here in the Milwaukee area got a dinner roll with their their fish fry, they'd be kind of upset about it.
Right. Other than the fish pizza, have you seen anything kind of unusual or more unique that somebody's tried to do?
No, not really. People, like I say, people just kind of want the same fish fry that they've had for years. And maybe some of these people are only doing it during Lent, whereas other people are doing it year round. I have the two guys in the second movie that were doing fish fries every Friday for years. Mike Seidel, he has, from Madison, he has his MadisonFishFry.com where he rates the fish fries, and then the Caleb Westfall, who is documenting all his fish fries for years, that he's never missed one. And that's dedication, when you're having fish fry. And Mike in Madison, he'll have fish fry on Wednesday, and sometimes on Friday he'll do lunch and dinner fish fry. And he's a skinny guy, so apparently it is he burns it up. But
Maybe he's eating the baked fish,
nope,
not the fried.
no, he's totally fried, and he uses his fingers. And
Oh.
I after I put him in the movie and we had some meals together, I started doing that too. It just works out better than a fork. Just kind of pick it up and dip it in the tartar sauce, and
Otherwise, all the little flakes come apart on your plate
exactly
anyway.
right. Yeah, it's fun, and it's really just being with other people during the fish fry. So you're usually with your family or friends and other people. At some of the fish fries, you're seated at a big communal table. So if you come in as a two top, the table will hold eight people. So you might be sat with, six other people, and now you're all talking fish fries, or you might make some friendships that last or something. So
Right. And if they're coming back every week, you get to see those same people a lot of times. And I know the places that are doing it year after year after year, they end up being generational. So the kids are coming as adults with their kids now, just like the supper clubs, but the
right.
fish fry themselves can turn out to be that way, can't they?
Exactly. And the supper clubs that offer fish fries will have sometimes they won't do other fried foods just because their fryers are so busy with the fish fries, or they'll just strictly do like Elias Inn was only doing fish and chicken on Fridays, and that's it. You couldn't get a steak or because their kitchen was just so overwhelmed with the fish fry orders. So
Right.
it's a major thing. And again, it's year round, but Lent is the most popular season, and Good Friday is the Super Bowl of fish fries, because that's when everybody goes, that final Friday, gotta get those Good Friday fish fries, and then the next, the Easter, then you're done with the fasting and the, it's Easter and you can, chase for eggs on Sunday and get your chocolate and
Mayhem and funeral potatoes.
funeral potatoes and
Yeah. I
hot
mean, I don't
dish.
want to make light of it, but we enjoy, it's like, oh yay, it's Lent. So we get to have, well, that's not what, we're not supposed to be celebrating that we get to eat something delicious. We're supposed to be giving something up, the red meat, so we eat fish, but it's
Well,
replaced by something delicious and fun and brings people together. So
yeah,
it's
I think it's fine. It's it, you know, there's you don't have to get too serious over, that, yeah, you are giving up something in a sense, but there are other people that say, well, I'm not going to have chocolate for Lent, or I'm not going to swear during Lent, or whatever, certain things that they,
Right.
feel better about, and then they can go back to doing it and after Easter. So
Ron, do you have any memorable fish fry meals or like favorite, if somebody was in Wisconsin that you'd say you've got to do this one?
yeah, memorable, really just the, like I say, the family, the friend getting together. When my dad would come into town, that was, we'd go, and that's when we'd stand there and wait 2 hours. There was a little place by me called Wagner's St. Martin's Inn, and tiny little dining room and a little bar area, and we'd wait for 2 to 2.5 hours to get a table. And like I said, we'd have a couple beers or cocktails, and by the time you sat down, you were really ready to have that fish fry, and it was very good. Wagner's, they're still going strong. Dennis is Wagner is getting a little, he's getting ready to retire, I think, but their perch fry and their cod fry are really delicious, and he's got a racing theme. He's in the first movie. He's the
Yeah,
guy
he's
with,
in that film. Yeah,
yeah, with the
okay.
racing theme, and he's the guy who says Fridays gotta have a fish fry. So but, and he's real knowledgeable, and he his background was in seafood at other restaurants, and Maeder's, German restaurant, so he does some German food as well. But you're there for the fish fry, and he's the one, his one that you're just getting fish fry on Friday. They're not going to serve other things. So
Well, that's good. I guess if you're waiting that long, you don't want to sit and wait for somebody to have a steak made ahead of your fish. So it's
right.
only fair.
And he was the one that puts the beer batter, but he lets the beer go flat the night before. He opens up
Oh.
all the beer, and lets the carbonation out, and he says that makes the beer flavor better. So that's his secret.
I watched, I don't know if it was on your film, so tell me if this was or not. At this particular place, the owner said, this is the beer that we use because it's the one that the pitcher fits under the tap in order to fill it to go make the batter.
Yeah, that was in my movie. That was at Herb's
It is.
Mug. She just said, I have to get a 5 gallon bucket under the tap, and this is the only one that'll
Okay.
reach there. And she kind of laughs about it, but it's true. But
Right.
it whatever beer, it's the alcohol is going to get cooked out, but the flavor, the malty beer flavor is going to stay. So
So what are you working on now? Do we get to see something new on PBS or?
no, not, I don't have any films lined up. I'm just lining up some supper clubs for a spring book tour, promoting the latest book. The book came out in November, and it didn't give me much time to visit a lot of clubs to do book signings, and through December. And I didn't want to travel in January and February, although I could have, considering the weather. I didn't know the weather would be so great.
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't know that we weren't going to get snow in the Midwest.
Right. But so I have that coming up, and then getting ready to do another update on my second Supper Club book, another round. I'll
Oh,
do the
okay.
same thing I did for the first book, where I'll revisit some of the clubs and add some new clubs, and that'll come out probably maybe next year or the year after 2026. I'm always like, let's get another book out right away. And I was the publisher is like, well, let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his, he knows the process better than I do. So,
Yeah.
but I'm always like, let's, you know, but people are just really enthusiastic about supper clubs and fish fries and the food, you know, the food available and the differences. And it really, it's good to see. It's fun to watch. And I mean, if you look at PBS, a lot of most of their shows are cooking shows, and Travel
Oh,
Channel's
I love
always
it.
doing food tours. And just as long as you don't invite Chef Ramsay to start yelling at people in the kitchen. Can you
Yeah,
imagine him? Imagine him at a church fish fry,
no.
yelling at the people that are, you screwed that up, you know.
Right. The volunteers, those poor people, the
Right.
volunteers, they're busting their humps trying to get the food out. Yeah. The book tour. So where can people find you on like social media? Tell me your website. Do you have your book tour dates and things on the website, or do they follow you on social media in order to find out where you're at? Tell me all that good stuff.
Yeah, my website is wisconsinsupperclubs.com, and I'll post updates on my Facebook page, which is just called Wisconsin Supper Clubs. And then I'm on Instagram again as Wisconsin Supper Clubs. Those I keep up to date. The website, I basically keep the club list
Okay.
updated. I just did an update, and of course, as soon as I did that, there was a couple changes, and it's just an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
But I break up the club list into the five regions that I do the books in. So Northwest, Northeast, North Central, Southwest, and Southeast. So that way, if you're in a particular area of the state, you can see where you want to go. It's alphabetical by supper club, and there's a link and phone number and address. And it's very helpful. And I look at the web traffic, and it's thousands and thousands of people every day are on there looking for their supper club. So,
I bet. I mean, that's an incredible resource. Do I bet the or do the owners of the supper clubs have you on speed dial? Like, hey, we're updating our phone number or website, or I mean, do you ever
no,
hear from owners?
I hear from supper club owners, but not so much about the list, but or some that aren't on there, and they'll say, hey, put us on, and then I'll check and see whether they are or not. I mean, some places, if they serve a tavern that serves a great old fashioned, isn't necessarily a supper club. So, but I do hear from supper club owners just on a regular basis, just to call and ask how things are going. Or during the COVID lockdown, I got several calls from supper club owners that just wanted to talk, because they were sitting in their empty supper clubs and saying, what are others doing? How are things going? It was really an unsettling time. But
Did Wisconsin shut down a lot of their restaurants like Minnesota, Minneapolis did?
I can only compare it to Illinois because of what one supper club owner told me, that his place in Wisconsin was doing better than his place in Illinois, because Illinois had a lot stricter
Okay.
rules. And so he was saying, well, the place in Wisconsin is keeping the lights on in the place in Illinois for now. So, but Mike Aletto and his wife Ann, they just sold the Hobnob in Racine, and he called me up just to thank me for, he said, I, you know, what for what you've done for supper clubs. And he was actually literally on his way home to Florida. They had sold the club, and it kind of the turnover was pretty quick to the new owner, and the whole staff stayed, so that was good. But you know, so it's interesting that to talk to these guys and talk about the business or just talk about personal things too. So that's been a nice side effect of the books.
So what are the so you have the films, We're Here for the Fish Fry, a deep fried film, and then there's the Fish Fry Night Milwaukee. Those are both films.
Right.
Tell me what the books are so that everybody knows, and I can put links to your website and all of that in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, the first book was, and the movie were both the same name, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, An Old-Fashioned Experience.
Okay.
And then the second book was Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round. The third book is a history of supper clubs called The Wisconsin Supper Club Story, An Illustrated History with Relish. And
That's
then,
the one I haven't been able to get my hands on yet, I think.
okay. Yeah,
Okay.
that one's really interesting because it's not necessarily a book you're going to take to supper clubs to get signed because it's all older history. But it's the history of how supper clubs began internationally, but also in Wisconsin. And then I talk about some of the other things that go along with the supper clubs. It's I loved writing it, and I urge people to go find it and check it out because it's really interesting. And then that came out in 2021. And then the Wisconsin Supper Club second edition came out last November, and that's the updated second edition of the first book that I revisited 24 of the clubs. A lot of them have new owners,
Oh,
and
yeah.
I added 15 new hidden gems and worthy destinations. And I visited the Broster Company. You hear of broasted chicken at a lot of supper clubs, and you could actually do fish, broasted fish, and some places do broasted. It's like frying it, but not. It's a little bit less greasy way to fry
Yeah.
things. And so that company is based in Beloit, and they make all the broasters. So and they actually have this process that people use. So it's an interesting book. They're all you know, I'm biased about that obviously, but I like how it turned out, you know, and I get a lot of great support from the publisher. And they do a lot of you know, publicity, help me with that, and they've been good to deal with over the years. And the books are available pretty much everywhere on major bookstores, and you can order them, and they're also online on Amazon and so on.
And then we'll watch for another new one coming out, hopefully in a couple years. So read all these now and then be ready for his newest one in a year or two. Ron, thank you. Is there anything else you want to share?
No, I think we covered everything, and now I wish I could go get a fish fry. So
I know we're recording this on a Tuesday. We should have done it on a Friday morning.
maybe I can get some fish tacos, Taco Tuesday.
All right, Ron, thanks for sharing with us today. I hope you'll come back so we can talk about the supper clubs.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Ron, because now I'm going to be on the hunt for a Culver's peanut butter shake. The links to Ron's books and movies and social media and his website, they're all in the show notes and also in this episode's blog post on randomsweets.com. And the comprehensive club list that Ron was talking about, it's also linked there, but his website is wisconsinsupperclubs.com, and you'll find everything there. So stay tuned because Ron said he would come back and he'll do a Supper Clubs episode, and we'll do that in time for our summer road trips in Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Stacy Mergenthal. Sweet wishes.